My wife are happy to be here this morning with you. We have five children. They're not with us. Their ages range from 8 years old to 16 years old. And they stayed back with family and friends. Something to share this morning, something to think about. I want to think this morning about God's provisions. It would be interesting to hear from you all what that means to you in your life, what that has meant to you. What has God's provisions done for you? How has it changed your life? And, you know, we could all be quite encouraged, I think, listening to each other's stories about how God's provisions have made a difference in our life. I plan to share a bit of a story, a testimony a little later on in the message, of how it impacted my life not so real long ago. James chapter 1, verse 17, it says there, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So I was thinking about God's provisions. You know, it tells us every good and perfect gift. Our main text this morning, I want to take from 1 Kings chapter 17. You may turn there if you wish. I want to look at a familiar story about Elijah, the Tishbite, and how God provided for him. And I want to draw some thoughts from that passage. 1 Kings 17, I think I'll just read verses 1 through 16. It says there, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherish, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherish, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord said unto him, saying, Arise, and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman, who was gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord my God liveth, I have no cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a curse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, and that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the curse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the curse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." As we think about provisions, I guess I was thinking, you know, there's different types of provisions. We think of physical. We think of our physical needs, our physical things, things we need. I think also of spiritual. We also have spiritual needs and how God provides for our spiritual needs. So as we go through this, I want to look at some of both of them as we go. But I know that, yeah, I won't exhaust this subject. There's a lot of areas we could go with the ideas, with the thought of provision. The first part there we see, you know, Elijah going to King Ahab and giving him this message from God that it's not going to rain and there's not going to be dew for years. You know, God told Elijah to give this bad message to the king. And you know, I can't imagine, Elijah must have thought about how angry the king would become and how this would affect his life. You know, we need to understand that at this point, at this time in Israel, had become very sinful and served Baal, who they thought was the god of the rain, who they would have considered to be God. So it was as though Elijah here was going to King Ahab and telling him, you know, almost as though that God is going to humiliate you and embarrass Baal, the god you serve, almost as though the two gods here are at war, at odds with each other. But, you know, it's going to also cause a problem for the king and the people, but also for Elijah. The lack of rain is going to affect everyone. The first point I want to draw out here is, if you want to experience God's provision in your life, focus more on his guidance. And we see that here in Elijah. We see that God spoke to him, and he was willing to follow God's guidance. You know, sometimes as humans, I want to experience the provisions of God, but I'm a little bit skeptical to do quite everything he tells me to do. And when he guides me to do something that's hard, I can get hung up. We see here Elijah, the example, he didn't get hung up. And we see here in this instance, you know, where God leads you, he also provides for you. And he did that for Elijah here. Sometimes we think that God's provisions mean that I will have everything I want. You know, it is true that God will not make so that I do not have a need of him. Provision is often something God gives that helps me through, not always keeps me from. And we see that here with Elijah. We see that sometimes God's provisions is wrapped up in a package that looks to me a lot like a problem. God's provision doesn't always prevent problems. And that's something that in my humanness, sometimes it's hard to see that difference. So often I think of God's provision, I feel like I should have no problems. But that is not the case. Like I said, when I follow God's guidance, that is where I find his provision. We see here, you know, how we know how the ravens, God directed them to feed him. Elijah did as God told him, even though it wasn't easy. We see the lesson of obedience here, how obedience to God is also where God's provision was, as Elijah followed through with that. So, as if we want to experience God's provision, we must focus more on his guidance than exactly maybe whether or not I'm experiencing those provisions. I need to hear his voice. Second thing I was thinking about is when God's provision seems small, we need to thank him. You know, I was thinking about Elijah here. I was thinking about the ravens, how they brought him the bread and the meat morning and evening. I guess he didn't have three meals a day like we do. I was just thinking about the fact how Elijah could have complained. He could have, you know, he was stuck by this little brook, and you know the whole story, how it dried out. I mean, you know, what's the reason for that? What about maybe the Jordan River or something that won't dry out? You know, why here? Why ravens, you know, to feed me? And it's not that much. And he could have developed an ungrateful heart. So I need to learn to develop a grateful attitude. Don't complain about the little you have. Praise God that you have enough for today. And like I say, this could apply to spiritual or physical, I'm sure. In the physical world, when we compare our little with our neighbor's abundance, is something we do as humans, we must instead stop and thank God for what he provided today. And if we don't develop this attitude of being grateful, instead we will develop an attitude of greed. If we make a practice about complaining about what I don't have, instead I need to thank God for his provisions. You know, if I don't do that, I speak this out of my own life. If we don't do that, we will chase our tail to the grave. If I'm complaining about what I don't have instead of grateful for what I do have, and it just starts so subtly, it starts young. You know, when I'm young, I just want the certain vehicle. I want this car. I want this, I don't know what, this truck. And, you know, then it moves on. You know, I just want a promotion at work. I want to do this. You know, I just deserve that. I want this. And then I want the next customer. I just want, and we can chase ourselves to the grave. At the same time, I'm not suggesting we are lazy and don't care. But make a habit of being grateful for the little, even though it may seem. I know we go through different seasons of life and different stages. Maybe in this stage I can't physically save money, so to speak. Or I can only put a little bit away. I can't put away what I want. But can I thank God for his provision, for meeting my needs? You know, a quote that I came across says, "Prosperity depends more on wanting what you have than having what you want." I think that is true. Prosperity depends more on wanting what you have than having what you want. How much time do I spend thanking God versus the time I spend asking God for things I don't have? One man said, "Love what God has given you, and he will make it grow." Learning to love what God has given me. You know, God is a God that wants to bless his children. And if we look at Scripture, Scripture is full of it. And if we look around, we can develop that heart of gratitude. And I think as we do that, we start to see God's provisions. If I am grateful, it helps me to see God's provisions in life, where greed blocks that. The third thing I was thinking about is, you know, one thing we see here is we see God's leading again. It kind of ties back to the first point. You know, when God's provision stops, sometimes I need to change course. Sometimes I need to pivot. I need to go a different direction. And sometimes it's hard when we feel God's provision stopping. We need to ask God what is next. And we see that here in Elijah. You know, it is possible for you and me to be in the center of God's will and God's provision stop. And things seem to dry up, as it were. We see that with the creek, with the brook here. The brook dried up. We see that in verse 7. And notice that it was no fault of Elijah's. This was no fault of anything he had done. It's simply because there was no rain. When something is not working, I need to ask God, what is next? What do you want of me? And we see here how God told Elijah to go to Zarephath, and he wanted him to care for a widow there. God redirected him. God told him where to go. And you know that I was thinking about, you know, sometimes when my brook dries up, I'm tempted just to dig deeper. I'm tempted to dig and to dig until I find the water. I think there is a time to dig, and there's also a time to pivot and to go another direction. Sometimes I'm not willing to go where God is asking. You know, so I stayed by my dried up brook and wonder why God's provisions are not there. We see here as Elijah again moved, God's provisions followed him. They went with him. You know, God's provisions for us as Christians are always there. And sometimes in different ways than what I thought, sometimes I don't take advantage of them. You know, I was thinking about the fact of how our pride keeps me from experiencing God's provisions. I want to look at passage in 2 Kings 5, 9 through 12. This is a very familiar portion of Scripture. I think I'll read verses 9, maybe through 11 there. And this is the story of Naaman. It says, I'll start reading in verse 9, 2 Kings 5. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh will come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. We see here, if you read on, you know, he was complaining, he was angry, and he wanted to go to some clean, nice rivers. He didn't want to go to the Jordan River. We know this story, it's a familiar story here in Naaman, you know. And we know that his servants finally convinced him, look, just go dip in the river, Jordan. Just do what he says. And he did that, and God's provision was there. So while Naaman was stubbornly refusing and didn't want to humble himself, we can ask the question, was God's provision there? And we know the answer to that. We know it was. Whether or not Naaman was willing to humble his heart, God had provided. I was thinking about how this goes a bit along with the story I want to share with you this morning about my own struggles, about my own experience of God's provision. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I was wondering, how does God's provisions tie in with that verse about our struggles today, what we wrestle against today? And this is not talking about, you know, physical foods, having enough to eat or whatever. This is talking about the struggles we face as believers. I think we can all identify with this verse. All of us as Christians face struggles and battles that start in our mind. You know, some time ago, three, 4 months ago, I was feeling, I guess, a lot overwhelmed. I was feeling there was a lot of things happening, which is okay, but I was starting to feel myself slip into a discouraged state. And I didn't think about it that much at the time, but I was just feeling as though not adequate, I guess I could say. I remember praying, you know, and I'd pray to God, and it felt to me like my prayers landed about right here at my feet. That's how it felt. My prayers just that is the way I was feeling. And this went on for a few weeks this way, and I was struggling, I was down, I was discouraged. And you know, something else happens at that time. When that started happening, I all of a sudden began to deal with a level of temptation I had not dealt with for a long time. I began to feel tempted to sin, to wrong. And these temptations started to come on me. And again, I would pray, and my prayers felt as though they were landing at my feet. And I remember sitting in church, and it was during men's Sunday school. We were having a Sunday school discussion, and we were talking, and the Lord spoke to me and said, Brian, he said, you know, you need to get some men to pray with you. And, you know, that's where me and the Lord had to have a little conversation. I said, just wait just a minute. You know, I mean, I can pray, right? I mean, I'll just pray myself, you know. I'm capable. I can do this. And God, you know, God continued to lay on my heart. He said, you need brothers to pray with you. Your prayers aren't reaching. You know, the idea of intercessory prayer. And I struggled that afternoon. I struggled. I went back to church that evening. We had a service Sunday evening. And again, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, you know what you need to do. Were God's provisions there? Was I there? You know, finally after church Sunday evening, I went to two brothers. One is a fellow pastor, one is another, my uncle actually, who I think highly of, respect well. And I said, I need you guys to pray with me. And they said, well, sure, you know. And so we went off to the side, and I told them what I was dealing with. I told them about the discouragement. I told them about my temptations I'm facing. And I told them about my prayers and that it's not working. You know, those brothers listened, and they said, you know, Brian, we need to pray for you. This grip that Satan is bringing, this hold he has you in, is not God's plan for your life. It's not his plan. We need to pray. And they prayed. And you know, they rebuked Satan. They rebuked the spirit of discouragement. And you know, it was instant. It was right away. I walked out to the vehicle after that. I told my wife, I said, it's all gone. It's gone. Temptations are gone. The struggle's gone. I can't wait to keep praying. It's gone. Where did it go? Those things are gone. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness. God provides supernatural provision for my spiritual safety. God's desire is that we remain spiritually safe. It does not mean he's going to take away all of my trials. In fact, often that is where I find his provision. You know, Matthew 18, verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know, that is exactly what I experienced. That's exactly what happened. Where two or three were gathered in the name of Jesus, Satan had one option, and that was to flee. The cross of Jesus is the greatest provision in the history of mankind. The power of the blood of Jesus is greater than sin, than Satan. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. My friends, it is not God's plan for me to struggle and battle for long periods of time. It will happen because I live in a sin-cursed earth. The sad part is, it can happen more than once. That's sometimes our greatest fear. What keeps us from finding freedom sometimes is, I can ask this question. If these men pray with me today and things are good, that's great. What about tomorrow? What about next year? It doesn't mean that I won't again need my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 40:29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. One of God's greatest provisions here on this earth is my church family, and I believe that to be true. There's lots of great provisions, earthly provisions, but I believe my church family is sometimes an underused provision. You know, every single brother and sister in the church I'm at, I know they are happy to pray with me, pray with someone. Sometimes it is an underused thing. God's provisions are real. I want to encourage us in Psalm 23. I'm going to just read it. You know, the passage speaks of God's provision. Psalm 23, I'll read verse 1, says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, this just speaks of God's provision. The God, the creator of the universe, that specializes in impossible situations. You know, it is the same God that parted the Red Sea, the God that shut the lion's mouth, the God that delivered the men from the fiery furnace, the God that freed the hostages in Haiti, the almighty, the all-powerful creator God, my Father, that cares about me today, who calls me to be his child. His provisions are ever ready, if I will but humble my heart and accept his plan for my life. Philippians 4, verse 9, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God's provisions for me today, he is pouring them out if I will but hear his voice and follow his leading. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. This morning I want to encourage your hearts. I don't know, like I said, it would be interesting to hear your testimonies of how God has provided. What provisions have you experienced in your life? But we need to take time to embrace God's provisions and believe those provisions are there. Take time to thank him for his provisions. God is our Father, he is our shepherd, he is our provider, and he knows our needs before we do. Let's trust him in his leading. The next time you are facing a problem, look for God's provision. Often problems come, but if we look closely, God is in the middle of those problems. Follow through with God's leading, with God's calling, as Elijah did. Even when it's difficult, even when it's not what I want, that is where I will find God's provisions. I want to leave that encouragement with you this morning. I think those that are able will kneel for prayer this morning.